Welcome to the Old Time Radio Daily Westerns, the first Old Time Radio Daily Western podcast that brings you a show from the 1930s through the 1960s. I'm your host, Andrew Ryans, and today is February 10th, 2010. This episode is brought to you by Amazon.com. By giving customers more of what they want, low prices, fast selection, and convenience, Amazon.com continues to grow and evolve as a world-class e-commerce platform. Just go to otrwesterns.com/Amazon. Again, it's otrwesterns.com/Amazon to start your shopping experience today. Today's episode is going to be Challenge of the Yukon. Original air date is October 30th, 1943, and the title is The Tell-Tale Bullet. Now, this week in history, I was doing some research, and I found out that not exactly today, but actually in 2 days, so November 1st, 1943, the dim out ban lifted in San Francisco Bay Area was lifted. And I was like, what's a dim out ban? I've never heard of such a thing. Grant, 1943. I haven't had to deal with this in my life. And I was doing some research, and actually, in 1942, it was regulated that the city dim their lights, actually, and including, you know, the people. So I'm looking online, and actually what a dim out is, it's a noun, and it's a dimming or reduction of light, of night lighting, as in a city, to make it less easily visible as to enemy aircraft. Well, I mean, I understand what's going on here. You know, Pearl Harbor was just bombed, I do believe in 1941. So having a blackout or making it so it's hard for the enemy to spot us is a great idea. But I had never known of such a thing as a dim out. So, you know, here it is, 1943, you know, a year later from when they started, they you know, discontinued doing it. So it's actually quite, you know, I was looking online. San Francisco, there's a virtual museum for the city of San Francisco. And one of the questions is, this is questions that were to assist in complying with the new dim out regulations. And these were to become October 25th with the new regulations. So this is dated 1942 as pre-Sunday, October 25th. So here's one of the questions that was actually asked. Our house is visible from the sea. Are any additional restrictions on lighting placed against us? And the answer? Yes. People living in these areas visible from the sea must not only shade their windows and doors visible from the sea, but they must not allow any light to shine upward from any window, skylight, or light well. No matter what direction they face, like everybody else, you must keep shades drawn as low as the bottom of the lowest light in the room. Wow. Let me read one more just because that was interesting. Here's another question. Our city feels that the quickest and easiest way to control illumination from streetlights is to turn them off, or at least to extinguish entirely a large portion of them. Is this policy approved? Okay, here's the answer. The policy is wrong, definitely. Street lighting was installed originally to safeguard lives and property. That protection is as necessary today as when the lights were installed. The new proclamation, effective October 25th, requires that street lights be shielded on the top to reduce upward rays of light. Except for areas visible from the sea, street lighting should otherwise be normal. So, it's actually, yeah, I had never known that this was going on. So for over a year, people had to have their windows drawn. It's just, it's sad that they had to go through that. You know, this caught my eye real quickly. The dim out schedule has been carefully prepared. It should be strictly observed and enforced. But where it does not apply, the public should not be subjected to unwarranted harassment, especially when the essential purpose of this program are more harm than help nearby. So, you know, this is, you know, like I said, it's surprising that even this was going on. So, let's get into today's episode. Like I said, it's Challenge of the Yukon, and the title is A Telltale Bullet. And I hope you guys enjoy.
The Challenge of the Yukon.
One king, a new husky.
King, the swiftest, strongest of Eskimo lead dogs, blazes the trail through storm and snow for Sergeant Preston as he meets the Challenge of the Yukon. Sergeant Preston was typical of the small band of Northwest Mounted Police who preserved law and order in the Yukon during the gold rush of 98. That was the year that brought over 50,000 men swarming into the Klondike region, and the greed for gold led to frequent violence and bloodshed. But in spite of the odds against them, the force preserved a splendid record in maintaining the right. The challenge of the North was answered, and justice ruled triumphant. The bank in Dobie City was a small frame building rich in gold deposits from some of the finest claims in the Yukon. Late afternoon, two men faced Bid Miller, Dobie's banker, guns leveled as the small man faced them defiantly.
You won't dare to shoot. The whole town would be here in 2 minutes.
2 minutes would be all we need to get out of here. Open that safe, Miller.
I'm not opening those safe doors.
What do you want to fool around for, Sam? Come on, let him have it.
For the last time. Open that safe.
You'll never get away with this.
We'll get away with it, all right. What are you waiting for? Go on, turn that combination.
That's what I call being real persuasive now, Sam.
Yeah. Maybe our friend here is sensible after all.
You'll see how sensible I am. You might carry this gold out of here, but mark my words, you'll never get away with it.
Open the doors. Lift that gold out of the safe. All of it.
Yeah. We don't want to miss any.
This is even better than you said.
What a haul this is. Wait till the boss sees it.
Any more in there?
Any more? Do you see any more?
I guess Shorty here's giving us all the help we need, Tony.
Yeah, I get you, Sam.
No, no. Wait a minute.
You talk too much. This is just to keep you from putting some miners on a trail.
You dirty yellow skunks. There ain't a drop of red blood in either of you. I'll see to it.
That's it. It'll be a long time before he can tell anything. Gather up the rest of them, folks. The sooner we get out of here, the better.
Sergeant Preston was a good 3 hours from Dobie City as he urged King on toward a small cabin standing alone in a clearing. A strong wind bit into him sharply.
On King! On you, Husky!
Well, that smoke from the chimney certainly looks good. All right, King. Ho, you Huskies. Ho! That's it, fella. We'll stop in to see Mort Kramer. Hello there, Mort. How are you?
Well, Preston, it's a long time since you stopped by in these parts.
Oh, just on my way to Dobie, Mort. I thought I'd stop in for a while. How's everything going?
Well, about the same as usual. Come on in. It's so cold up here, I don't know how men stand it.
That's the Yukon for you. As I remember it, you never did like the climate.
You want to bring your dog in?
No. King will stay out here. We'll rest a few minutes before going on.
Sit down. Tell me what brings you to these parts. You say you're going to Dobie City?
That's right. Yep. That's gold robberies again, Mort.
Oh, yeah?
A group of men have been systematically robbing banks all the way from Skagway to... Well, that's just it. To where? One after the other.
Well, you got any information that makes you think they're around here?
Yes and no. If I'm right, I have a hunch Dobie will be their next stopping off place.
Well, it all goes to prove I'm right. I always said it's no use banking your dust. Just puts it all in one place for the first smart crook that comes along to clean up.
Oh, I think you're wrong there, Mort. Banks are necessary up here. And it's up to the law to protect them.
Maybe I shouldn't say so. But you ain't done much protecting up to now. I mean, well, they were robbed.
You've got a point in favor of your argument, Mort. But it's my job to stop those robberies.
I wish you luck, Sergeant. They must be a mighty slick gang.
Now, what's that?
Tell you what's the idea.
This is a fresh team.
What do you two want?
What do we want?
Are these friends of yours, Mort?
Friends of mine. I never saw them before.
A Mountie, huh?
If you two stop for grub,
yeah,
well...
Yeah, we thought we could buy some from you, mister.
Looks more to me as if you thought you could take my team. It's all right, King. Where are you heading for?
Pikeston. Never saw the same to you, Mountie. We'll mush.
Where'd you come from?
Why the gun, Sergeant? They don't
these
look like...
men will have to come to Dobie with me, Mort.
Dobie? Well, you're daft. We're going to Pikeston.
You're both going to Dobie with me and explain those bags from the Dobie City Bank on your sled.
What? Oh, say. I didn't ever notice them.
They weren't very carefully put on the sled. Two of them slipped from under that pack. All right, you two. Here, put these handcuffs on them, Mort.
No, you can't do this.
Well, he's doing it, ain't he? Now, shut up. Maybe you think your boss can get you out of this one, huh?
Maybe he better, mister.
Hey, these might be the men you were looking for, Sergeant.
Well, we'll soon find out. I imagine the banker and Dobie will be able to throw a lot of light on the subject. Get the dogs up, King.
All right, just a minute, Sergeant. I'll go to Dobie with you. It ain't every day I get a chance to watch the law working on bank robbers.
It was late afternoon as Sergeant Preston closed the doors on his two prisoners in Dobie City. And it was an excited banker who stood by, grinning triumphantly.
Yes, sir. They're the ones, all right. Made me open the safe that hit me on the head. I still got a bump. Oh, still hurts, too.
I wanted you to identify them, Bid.
Last thing I said to them was that they wouldn't get away with it. Now who's laughing, boys? Sergeant Preston, I got to hand it to you. If it hadn't been for you, I hate to think of what would have happened.
It's a little too soon to hand anything to anybody, Bid.
What do you mean, Sergeant?
Well, it's true that we've got the robbers jailed.
And you've got the gold back in the bank. Seems to me
No, there's more to it than that. Much more. You see, Bid, there's someone else behind these robberies. I'm convinced of it.
Say.
Hmm?
Now that you mention it, when I swung the safe doors open, one of them said, just wait till the boss sees this.
Did they say anything else? Anything more definite?
No, that's all. Maybe you can get them to tell who it is. They're all alike. Once they get in a tight spot, they'll tell everything they know.
I've already talked to them.
No luck?
No. But they may change their minds. I'm convinced that these are the men who've been responsible for those robberies in Bell Vista, Doriston, Hightop.
You're right. And they're the ones that must have killed O'Toole in Hightop.
Hey, look, Sam. We got visitors again. Hey, well, what do you want, Molly?
I'm giving you two a chance to lighten your sentences.
That's mighty interesting. But if you're here to ask for names, you're wasting your time.
A miner's jury won't go easy on you unless you help me get the man in back of you two. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
You're right on one thing. We got everything to gain just by staying here waiting.
And waiting for what? You'll be convicted of robbery while your boss makes a getaway with the gold he's holding from those other banks.
Marty, we ain't talking.
Well, suit yourself. There's a chance for you to help yourself.
We'll get help, all right. And you can put this in your books.
We won't be here long enough to be convicted by a miner's jury. See?
Easy to see they ain't got a brain between them. There ain't a soul in Dobie'd be likely to spread the news of you two being in jail where it'd do you any good.
We don't need anybody to spread the news, Shorty.
All right. Come on, Bid.
Save your breath, Monty. You'll need it to explain why your jail's empty when the jury gets together.
What do you make of it, Sergeant? They seem mighty sure of themselves.
Yes. Too sure.
I don't understand it.
Well, there's only one explanation.
What's that?
Put yourself in their place, Bid. If you were jailed here in Dobie City and your boss was, say, over in Pikeston, what would you do?
Why, I'd try to get word to him, I guess.
You wouldn't be so sure that you could get word to him in time to get out of facing a trial that's 2 days away, would you?
No, I wouldn't. And if I was in their shoes, I'd either make sure he'd face that trial with me, or I'd break my neck seeing somebody that'd tell him to get me out of jail, or else.
And they haven't talked to anyone since Mort and I brought them in.
And yet they're so plumb sure that... it beats me.
There's only one answer to it. The man we're looking for must be right here in Dobie City.
Right here? Say, who do you suppose... That must be it.
Yes, of course it is.
In that case, the only thing to do is to double the guard on the jail and make sure he don't get the chance to spring them. By golly, that's it. And when they see that trial coming up and no help from their boss,
No, I think, Bid, that we'll force his hand.
What?
We'll give this boss of theirs just the chance he's waiting for.
Well, I don't get you. You mean you know who he is?
No, I don't know who he is.
Well, then, you're going to take a chance on leaving the jail unguarded?
If we leave the jail obviously unguarded, he'd suspect the trick immediately. Remember, this is the man responsible for a string of bank robberies that he's gotten away with up till now. No, he'd be too smart to fall for a trap like that. I'll need your help, Bid, and King.
I'll do anything I can, but I still don't see
King how... King and I are going down to the wharf, then upstream a bit. Tomorrow morning, I want you... Early the next morning, miners thronged the streets in Dobie City. They were gathered in the cafe, in the general store, and lounging outside the frame buildings bordering Main Street. When suddenly, Bid Miller came racing from the wharf at the riverfront at the street's end.
Hey! There's a man in the river! The Preston's dog's trying to pull him out!
What?
Yeah!
Man in the river!
I want to see that! Come on, Mike!
It was a stampede. Men who were hungry for excitement and entertainment raced down to the wharf. Some of them already laying bets on whether or not the dog would be successful in pulling the man out of the rushing waters of the Yukon River. As Bid ran past the jail, he called to the guard.
Don't you want to see it, Clem?
Yeah, sure. But
come on, this is too good to miss. Sandy can keep his eyes on them two prisoners.
Yeah, I got him right with you, Bid. I'll lay you 2-1. That dog don't make it.
The street that only 2 minutes before had been crowded with men was deserted. Mort Kramer walked out of the cafe and slipped up behind the one guard left standing outside of the jail. The man was facing the wharf, listening intently to the wild cries of the miners. He never realized his danger till Mort was upon him.
Oh!
Now they get the keys.
Good.
Lady Luck's playing right into my hands. To find which one of these
hey,
is...
What the... Mort.
Yeah, it's me.
For a while there, he's beginning to worry about you.
You knew better than that. What do you think I came to town with the Mounty for?
What'd I tell you, Sam? See? Boy, will that Mounty be surprised. How'd you manage this?
Preston managed it. All right, come on. My sled's in back at the cafe.
What do you mean, Preston managed it?
Every miner in town is watching that dog of his pull some fool out of the river.
Oh, his dog, huh? I hope that mutt never gets out.
Just the chance I was waiting for.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing for you it came up. Because if it hadn't, we'd have told enough about them robberies to hang you.
Fool, what could I do in front of Preston? Come on, we've wasted enough time. Preston might be back any minute.
You're wrong, Mort. Not any minute, right now.
Preston.
Those keys, put your hands up.
This was a trap, you fool.
Yes, it was a trap.
But I thought...
You thought I was down at the river with the miners. That the coast was clear. I should have known when these two stopped at your cabin, Mort, that it was all prearranged. That your cabin is the hideout. But I've got enough evidence now to put you just where you belong.
Hey, Sergeant. What happened to Sandy?
That wasn't any man. Just a dummy. Somebody stuffed a suit of clothes and sent it down the river.
Did it work, Sarge? Mort!
Yes, Bid, it worked. Mort Kramer is the man we're looking for. I was standing behind the office door waiting for him. And he walked right into the trap.
I think we'll find the gold from those other robberies out at his cabin.
Well, I'll
Sergeant,
be...
Sergeant, I don't get this.
You'll hear about it in court tomorrow, Tim. Lock them all up, Ed.
Well, even if it was a dummy, you should have seen that dog of yours swimming. I never seen anything like it.
Ah, good work, fella. Good work. Yes, with your help, another case has been solved.
Upholding the motto of the Northwest Mounted Police, Sergeant Preston and the Great Dog King maintain the right and get their man. Don't miss their next thrilling adventure when they meet the challenge of the Yukon once again on Saturday at this same time.
On King! On you, Husky!
Challenge of the Yukon, a copyrighted feature of the Challenge of the Yukon, Incorporated, brought to you every Saturday at this time, originated in the transcription studios of WXYZ Detroit. The characters and events in tonight's drama were fictitious. Bill Morgan speaking. This is the Michigan Radio Network.
Welcome back. Now, I hope you guys actually have been enjoying this extra bit of history that I've been putting in. Normally, I would just read it off and go, oh, cool, that's neat. But these last three episodes, you've actually heard the song, the Tisket a Tasket. You've heard the trailer from an old movie. So I hope you guys have been enjoying this. Today, I didn't find anything during the week, give or take, that was musically oriented or something I could play you guys. But I did try to find out exactly what a dim out was, because, like I said, I had never heard what it was. So I do hope you guys appreciate it. Send me an email, podcast@otrwesterns.com. Call me, 707-98-OTRDW. Again, that's 707-986-8739. Check out the show notes site, otrwesterns.com. And I think that's going to be it for today. This show's run a little longer than normally for a Wednesday. And I hope you guys enjoy. Have a good day, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. Oh, by the way, tomorrow is going to be Thursday, which means it's going to be an episode of Have Gun, Will Travel. So we'll see you then.